What does it have to do with Thanksgiving?
And why do we have to smack it with a hammer?
It's called the peppermint pig. It's a Victorian-era tradition.
Someone's been watching too much PBS.
I like the tradition of pie.
This feels lame.
Sorry, sis. Now that I'm on the carnivore diet, I cannot eat a pig made of candy.
Oh, so you'd rather have a real one?
Oh, I'd rather eat a real one right now.
Guys, stop. Your mom's getting that look in her eyes.
Huh?
Yeah, come on, guys. Let her have her perfect Pinterest moment.
Is it so bad that I want Thanksgiving to actually mean something this year?
Yes. No. No.
So again, how it works. Everyone goes around and takes a turn hitting, tapping, pig with the hammer. And everyone says something they're thankful for. And when we're all done, we dump it out and eat the candy. Hey,
candy? Looks more like a bar of soap.
Like you know what soap looks like.
I saw him wash his hands last week.
Just something to say something.
Okay. I am thankful that Jerry finally dressed appropriately for a family get-together.
I did go through a tank top era.
Yeah, no one wants to see your shoulder hair, Uncle Jer.
But welcome to my Crocs era.
Right off the table.
You don't have eras. You're not Taylor.
So cool.
I am thankful for Crocs.
Okay. I'm thankful Mom didn't burn the rolls this year.
And I would love to eat all of those rolls, but again, carnivore diet. Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful because after this pig thing is over, I can go beast mode on this pie.
Pass.
Wait, we can pass? That's a win.
Wait, am I losing?
Okay, see, this is why I do not come to your family game night.
Okay, well, I'm thankful for a family who's willing to do this all over again.
Oh.
And really consider their blessings. All the blessings our great God has given us.
Guys, I'm thankful that God blessed me with a wife who makes family moments special.
I'm grateful God gave me some good friends on my basketball team.
I'm thankful for vegan butter and the mashed potatoes this year because, guys, this is not a phase.
Wait. Seriously, that was vegan butter?
Oops.
Okay, now the reason I'm thankful for pie is because it reminds me of Grandma. I really miss her, but I'm thankful she was my grandma.
Well, with that being said, it's been quite a year. Y'all know about my health, my job, my... Well, you all know. Thank you for your prayers. I'm grateful for my family. Very grateful to God.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
I don't know about you. I'm all about that carnivore diet. That sounds good. This week, some of us may be seeing some family or maybe even some friends that we have not seen in a while, who may or may not disagree with us on a number of things, like which trilogy of the Star Wars is the best. How much protection should Patrick Mahomes get from the refs week in and week out? And how do they fluff his pillow at night for him as he falls to sleep? Does Alabama deserve to be in the national championship picture each and every single year? Thank you. Amen. They do not. They do not. Is pumpkin pie the superior Thanksgiving dessert? As those fruitful conversations come about, they may or may not raise your blood pressure, But may you remember this phrase in the midst of it all. Doxological gratitude. And if you say it out loud at Thanksgiving dinner, you get extra bonus points from the Lord, I promise. Doxological gratitude. Doxology simply means to sing. It's a hymn. It's a praise to God. Glory to God. It's what we've been doing together this morning. And gratitude is simply the quality of being thankful. An attitude of thankfulness. Choosing to be thankful. Before we dive into our main text this morning, which is going to be Luke chapter 17. So however you engage in Scripture, I encourage you to find Luke chapter 17. But before we get to Luke, I want to just let us hear a number of doxological gratitude texts. First one is Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. And in order for this psalm to take root into our lives and to actually do something to us, in us, and through us, some of us need to be a little bit more intentional of paying attention to all the wonderful deeds that the Lord has done in our life. We can go back and look throughout the biblical narrative and give praise to God for those stories. And that is right and that is good and that is necessary. But also what is right, good, and necessary for us is to do, as Dave Jividen mentioned in our communion talk, this self-assessment. This time of choosing to be intentionally remembering, if you will, of all the good and wonderful deeds that the Lord has done for us. And then sit back and in the midst of that remembering, rejoice in the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Next is Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. Just a very simple phrase. But what would happen to you, in you, and through you if you memorize this? It's very simple. It's not very long, not very hard. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. What if you put this statement to heart, and as you got out of bed, this was some of the first things that came out of your mouth, off of your lips, or before you left the house, you declare, I will praise God's name in song. I will glorify Him with thanksgiving. And then, boom, you go out and you do your stuff. You go about your business. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Again, if Psalm 69, 30 isn't your memory verse, maybe you should choose Psalm 106, verse 1. Again, not very hard, not very overly wordy, but something that if you put to memory and you kind of practiced day in and day out, what would it do to you? What would it do through you? Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And then, bam, you go about your day. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 13. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Those of you this week in your Thanksgiving meals who know you're going to be called upon to give the blessing over the food before you eat, may I suggest you pray this as you pray. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Last passage, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. We looked at this over the summer in our study of Daniel. Daniel learned that the decree had been published that he was no longer allowed to pray to any other god except the God or the king. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem three times a day. This habitual practice this disciplined practice. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. When it comes to the reality and expression of doxological gratitude, one of the most annoying and frustrating speed bumps that often come my way, and maybe your way as well, is not that we don't care about praising and thanking God for all of His good gifts. We do. We care very much about praising God and thanking God. It's because too often we're just simply forgetful. We get caught up in whatever it is we get caught up in and simply refuse to take advantage of the opportunity to stop and make an effort to thank God. But too often we don't stop. Maybe it will come to mind, but too often what we do is we say to ourselves, I'll thank God later. Or later on tonight, I'll stop and I'll thank God for that when I pray before I go to bed. And some of you may actually remember to do that. But for the rest of us, we too often forget. And we go about our routine, we go about our stuff, we go about our day-to-dayness from one thing to the next. And unfortunately, what so often happens is instead of practicing spiritual formation, we slide into a practice of spiritual neglect. If you and I forget to tell our loved ones how much they mean to us, what eventually happens to those relationships? What happens? They begin to go downhill, right? Things begin to happen. Stuff begins to happen. If we forget to stop and tell and show how thankful we are to those in our lives whom God has blessed us with, what happens to those relationships? And what often happens is this is a result of neglectful forgetfulness. The slow fade of forgetfulness and neglect has a major, major impact on all of our relationships, especially our relationship with the Lord. The word remember is a massively powerful word in the Bible, found all throughout both Testaments, but especially in books like Deuteronomy and in the Psalms. But with the word remember comes more than just a cognitive light bulb that goes off in our head. It's more than just this, oh yeah, I forgot type of moment. It's more than just an awareness of information. It's information that spurs action that leads towards transformation. Remembrance that calls us to act, to respond. It's information, it's oh yeah, it's inspiration, I need to do it, but then it's the application that leads towards transformation in our lives. Check out texts like Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. When you have eaten and satisfied, which many of us are going to have an opportunity to this week, or maybe it was last Sunday when we ate together. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. So this week, in the midst of all the eating and the satisfaction and whatever comes on for you this week, whatever you experience, I hope your remembrance, I hope your mind, I hope your heart is convicted to this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8. When you eat and are satisfied, don't just say, okay, now I'm going to go watch such and such football game, or now I'm going to go play such and such game. I'm going to take a nap, whatever the next is for you. I pray that your heart is convicted and that you stop wherever you're at and you thank God for this land. You thank God for all the good gifts in your life. You strategically and purposefully pay attention to the people in the room with you. And you thank God for each and every single one of them by name. Or you thank God if you're not with those people. You thank for the memory of them. Or you strategically and specifically name the people in your church family that you know love you, that you know care about you. And you say, God, I'm satisfied right now in your love and in your goodness. Thank you for all the ways you have blessed me. And thank you for. And you start naming names or naming experiences or naming situations in your life. Whatever it is that you have to be thankful for. Don't let that moment pass. Information, inspiration, apply it. And watch what God does to your heart. For the good land he has given you, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you today. Another passage in Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. Now, what I find convicting about this particular passage is it's not just remembering the good things that God has done, which is a very important and necessary thing for us to be mindful of, but his judgments as well. Maybe within our own lives, if we have been convicted of sin, if we have paid for our wrongdoings, if you will, and fallen into something that cost us something or that led us into trouble, we say, God, thank you that that happened to me. But because that happened to me, I was able to turn. I was able to go a better and different direction because I suffered that or went through that or endured that. But God, your judgment led me to a better path. Thank you. Thank you for that. It could be his miracles that you have experienced in your life, where something other than God made something right or made something whole, where God strategically stepped in and did something, and you stop and you say, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. The call for many of us is to remember. And so often we don't stop enough to do it. We just move on to the one thing after the next, after the next. But this call to remember, this call to, okay, I need to remember to do that. There's the information call, the inspiration call to do it, and then the actual application of following through with it, which can take less than 4 seconds. God, thank you for that. And then boom, you go on about your day. Last one, Psalm 25, verses 4 through 7. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Do you feel the energy in that? Do you feel the inspiration of that? More than just information, but the inspiration of that. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, this is a call for God to remember. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and your love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways, but according to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Somehow, some way, through the mysterious and truthful way of God, we cry out for God not to forget us. We are convicted, we are inspired, and we are formed into the goodness of who God is. God, we choose to remember your goodness. We choose to remember your miracles. We choose to remember your judgments upon us. And with the same breath, Lord, do not forget me. Remember me. Remember me in your goodness and in your love. And watch what happens when God does through that all. Luke tells us an episode in Jesus' life about doxological gratitude. What happens when someone chooses to remember? And it's more than just information. It's information that leads towards inspiration and then actual application. It's an act on the remembrance. They praise and they thank God. And then they receive a spiritual forming gift from the Lord. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And what struck me this week about this story is how they responded in obedience. They cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, because Jesus is looking, Jesus is paying attention. Jesus didn't have his back to them. Jesus did not ignore them. Jesus saw them and he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest," which according to the law of Moses is what you are supposed to do to be declared clean so you can go about life in the community. And what I love about the end of verse 14 is this statement, "And as they went," they responded in obedience. They went on going about their stuff, going to the temple to be declared clean by the priest. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and did what? Thanked him. Now, here's just a universal truth. Each and every single one of us one day are going to end up at the feet of Jesus. We're going to praise him and we're going to thank him. This is an archetype example of what each and every single one of us will one day do. We're going to throw ourselves at Jesus' feet and we're going to thank him. Thank him, thank him. And then Luke throws in this little phrase, this identity statement, that's meant to capture our imagination and it's meant to convict our heart. Luke says he's a Samaritan. He's this mudblood. He's this outsider. He's this one who should have nothing to do with God, Yahweh God. He should have nothing to do with anybody. He's an enemy. This person is an us. He's a them. He's not an us. He's not a part of the in crowd. He's a part of the outside crowd. And Luke says this one person, this Samaritan, came back and praised and thanked God. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." All 10 received the gift of being healed from the leprosy that kept them from living a regular, normal life in community. All 10 were made whole. But only one returned to give praise and thanks to God for the gift that he received. What happened to the other 9? don't know. But what one could imply from this story is after they received the blessing of being healed, they just went about their day-to-dayness. They didn't stop. They didn't make a choice to choose to be thankful, to be grateful. They just went about their stuff. What we do know is that only one returned, and he was not a Jew, but an outsider who knew how to respond to the goodness of God in his life. Doxological gratitude. He fell down before Jesus. He threw himself down at Jesus' feet. And he praised him. There's the doxology. And he thanked him. There's the gratitude. Praise and thankfulness. He remembered to stop from wherever he was headed next and turn his attention and his direction towards God and give him thanks. He stopped wherever he was going and whatever he was doing, and he intentionally chose to give his attention and his direction towards God. And God met him there in the midst of his praise and thanksgiving with a blessing. A spiritually freeing and spiritually forming blessing. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. He was already cleansed of his leprosy, but there was something else lacking within him. And Jesus gave him that spiritually forming blessing. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your intentional act of remembrance and responding with action led to that remembrance with praise and thanksgiving, resulted in Jesus responding with a blessing from him. Not of monetary value, not of more stuff, but with an inspired and convicting word from him that your faith in me has made you well. Now rise and go. Arise, team. Y'all can join me up here. As we go about our days into Thanksgiving and beyond, may we choose to pay attention and set our direction on the goodness of God. And may we choose to live out of doxological gratitude with each breath of life that we are gifted with. Church, rise with me, please. Please stand. As we close out our service this morning, if you would like to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters, please come down here and see me. If you would like to pray with one of our female prayer warriors, they will be out by the prayer room. If you would like to pray with one of our shepherds, they will be out by the prayer room as well. But as we sing and as we close out our service together, may you take with you doxological gratitude. And may that phrase impact your heart and your eyes so that as you go about your day-to-dayness, you see and you pay attention and you respond to all the ways in which God blesses you, provides for you, takes care of you. And may you choose to respond with praise and with thanks. May we be a people who do not forget the goodness of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the texts in Deuteronomy and Psalms and all throughout your word that convict us and call us to remember. And God, help us to respond. Help us to act, to live out of a heart filled with gratitude towards you. Father, thank you for the story of Jesus and these 10 lepers. Thank you for the one that came back. Thank you, God, for his example, and may we choose to live out of that example. Jesus, one day, each and every single one of us are going to be at your feet. We cannot wait for that day to come. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. But until that day comes, may we be a people who praise you and who thank you with each breath that we are gifted with. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.